Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for this one day in seven that we have been given that we might worship you. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak today, and that those listening might hear not my words, but those words which are from above. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, and I want to give one disclaimer right here in the beginning. I'm going to have to make a reference to the Trinity. And last time I did that, I was barraged with different comments. So I'm going to try and do my best to say, but if make that comment correctly, it's an sort of an inside joke. But anyway, please bear with me in that regards. Okay, how should we develop biblical friendships? I assume, does everybody have their book? Okay. So, now, the title of the book does not mean that we can't have friendships with those that are not in Christ. I think what the book is really trying to point out as we go through it is that the friendships that are worth having are those that are in Christ. And it also gives warning about some of the friendships that we might have outside of Christ and things that we should be wary of. The first verse it starts with is in Proverbs 27:9, which says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." So I think that lays out or establishes for us at the beginning here that there's a priority that even the Bible places on the subject of friendship. You know, it says that as we start the book here, it says, "In today's culture does not provide great encouragement for the nurture and development of deep, long-lasting, or satisfying friendships. Such friendships take time and sacrifice." And when I thought about that, we live in a culture today where it's a very, very hurried culture. Everything is instantaneous. We could blame that on a lot of things. I blame it on Federal Express. You know, Federal Express started where you could have a letter overnight, or you could have a package overnight. And so, as those type of things happen, the expectation becomes the norm. But there are many things. But in our world today, with all the activity going on, developing friendships is not something that has been given a priority. The other thing that it mentions in here is that in our 21st century Western culture, we emphasize busyness and we promote possessing and receiving more than sacrificing and giving. Now, how does that play in with friendship? Well, friendship, true biblical friendship, is a two-way street where you are giving and receiving in that friendship. You're bearing with one another. But we live in a materialistic world, and I'm sure it's always been materialistic, but our society today emphasizes that more, where it's all about, how many have heard people say the golden rule is who ends up with the most toys at the end? What a horrible thing to think. But there are many people that will openly say that, and then I think if you just listen to some of your friends or people that you know, many people, they may not say those exact words, but that's how they live. It bears out in their worldview. Now, something else, just as an aside, I want to mention, this past week on Friday, I was at an all-day seminar, a webinar, where instead of going to a meeting or a conference, I sat and watched my computer for 8 hours, which is really boring. But anyway, But they had a speaker. He was secular. But, you know, even as the Bible says about Balaam and the jackass, said, you know, God used a jackass to speak to Balaam. So God can use even what men of this world say that have certain amounts of wisdom tied in with it. But this speaker was talking about the digital world. And when we talk about friendships and the things that take up our time, one of the things that he said that this just blew me away. He said between the year 2008 and 2017, the amount of digital information, okay, that doesn't mean that you are looking at all of this, but the amount of digital information that was available to you, or that could be accessible, had increased from 2008 or 7 to 2017. It had increased 100,000%. Okay? And I think about that. We've got how many of us never leave home without this device? Or you go into a restaurant and there's 50 TVs around you. You know, so the amount of digital presence. But what was even more interesting and more amazing to me, he said it increased 100,000% from 2007-8 to 2017. He said, do you know how much it's increased from 2017 to today? Does anybody want to guess on this? Because you won't get it right. 100,000? No. He said from 2017 to today, remember it was 100,000 from 2008 to 2017. He said from 2017 to today, the amount of available digital media has increased 6.4 million%. So you see that we are bombarded with, not only did we have enough distractions before we had the digital media, but now with the electronics world, we're just overwhelmed with things. And so these are the type of things that can impact our friendships if we're not the development of Christian friendships if we're not careful in those things. Now, why is it important for us to develop biblical friendships? Does anybody have an answer? That is true. Okay, I'll give you credit for that. In our book here, it says that friendship is one of the primary means that God uses to strengthen His people. So, by having biblical friendships, we, with other Christians, we are encouraged and encouraging one another. It's a reciprocal type thing. So that is why there is such importance in friendships, because those friendships many times are used in our lives. And you know this as well as I do, even in the secular world. One who is a friend can say things to another that a stranger couldn't say. And so the friendships in the biblical context can be used to help the lesser grow. In the Greek world, even Plato, you know, this is a human philosopher, but even the Greek world, friendships were considered so important that Plato devoted an entire book just to the discussion of friendship, how important it was. So, where do we get probably the primary example of or picture of friendship? If you were to go to the Bible and you were to say, okay, where does this talk about biblical friendships or the purpose? What would you give as an example? Somebody have anybody? Yes, sir.
Peter, James, and John, and Jesus Christ.
That is one, but I'm looking for the, as I say, the big kahuna, the biggest one. No? That's right. The example we get is reflected in the relationship between the members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that relationship, because in that relationship, we experience, or we see what? Perfect unity between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So this is probably the greatest example. It is the greatest example of what biblical relationship or friendship should be like. In the book of John, it expresses the love of the Father and the Son for each other 17 times. That relationship between the two. So, out of that, as those members of the Trinity enjoy this oneness, one with another, we build on that with our human relationships. And there are some relationships. Let me ask you this question. Can anybody tell me here, somebody read, let's see, John 3:35. I meant to do that. If you've got your Bible, John 3:35. Let's see the first hand on that. Oh, Nathan. Oh, I thought you had it already. I'm looking for somebody who's got it. Who's got it already? John 3:35. Go ahead, Mary.
The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand.
Okay. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. How about John 17:23? Who's got it? All right. Jim.
I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me.
Okay. So we see with the members of the Trinity the unity and the relationship they have with one another. So who in the Bible did God call His friend? Is he human? But God called this individual His friend. Does anybody know? Okay, let's see. Dee, I got you on one. Gabrielle?
Abraham.
Yes, Abraham called him friend. Now, talking about some other examples of godly friendships, now we can go back to Kelly. You had mentioned Jonathan and David, correct? Okay, can anybody think of another one between two individuals?
Paul and Timothy.
How about another?
Ruth and Naomi.
That's another one there. All right, so can somebody read Proverbs 18:24 for me, please? Proverbs 18:24. Keep your Bibles at hand because I'm going to be asking. You ready to read? Okay, Nathan.
The man of many companions is unseemly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Okay, read that one more time.
A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Okay, so what that's saying there is a man may have many companions, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Western culture, maybe in the rest of the world, but since this is my reference point, I can say with certainty that I think we have a tendency to use the word friend sort of carelessly. We call many people our friend when really they are more of an acquaintance, but they're not friend in the sense that we're talking, where there is a deep abiding relationship between the two people. Now, what book of the Bible gives us a lot of wisdom? Now, there are many places in the Bible, but what book in the Bible particularly, and because it's thought of as a wisdom book, gives us a lot of wisdom about living in the world on our relationship with others? Off the top of your head.
Proverbs.
Proverbs. Okay. Who can read Proverbs 17:17 for me? Who's got it? I see a 17. Nathan, I get. Miss Dawn?
A friend lies at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
Okay. So, a friend loves at all times. And what was the second part of that verse?
A brother is born for adversity.
Mm-hmm. Which means that there are times that as friends, we may not always agree. But that doesn't mean that we cannot have a deep and abiding love for one another. So those are some of the things that distinguish what biblical friendship would look like. In fact, from some of the texts we've just read here, it gives us the impression that a biblical friendship is an important part of the life of a Christian, having solid biblical friendships. Now, there are two central themes that come out of the Bible regarding friendship which give us a picture of friendship. The first one is that friendship has to involve true friendship, true biblical friendship, has to involve the mutual love and knitting together of one soul. Okay? So who can read for me Deuteronomy 13:6? All right, Luke.
If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, wife your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither of you nor your father."
Read that part again. And your friend who is what?
Who is as your own soul.
Your friend who is your own soul. So that talks about a depth of relationship between a true friend that is very, very great. Who can read for me 1 Samuel 18, chapter 1? 1 Samuel 18, 1.
Verse 1,
yes. Okay, go ahead, Enoch.
Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him.
Okay, so we see something here about biblical or Christian friendship, that there's a knitting and a love for the soul of another person. And again, as we go back to one of the very early statements I made when we started this today, that the purpose of a biblical friendship or a godly friendship is to help us grow in the things of God. So David and Jonathan both were godly men, they had their failings, but we see how this was an encouragement one to the other. So the first thing, or of the two things that give us a picture of biblical friendship in the Bible, as I said, the first one is the mutual love and the knitting of one's soul. And the second is face-to-face encounters, meaning that you can't, like in FaceNet, don't you friend someone? Okay, they call that friending. You is that correct?
Facebook?
What did I?
You said FaceNet.
Oh, FaceNet, sorry. Well, hey, you should know from that, I do not have Facebook and will never get it. Okay? Because it gives to all those other people who you don't want to be friends with information about you. But anyway, so in Facebook, I think there's a term, you friend someone. Okay? Well, who can read Exodus 33:11 for me? So, did you have it, Jeff? Oh, I thought you raised your hand.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. His servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle.
Okay, so the second characteristic of a biblical friendship is that it's what? First, it's a knitting of the heart and soul, but the second thing is what? The friendship must be what? Face to face. Now, again, digital media, you know, it's not all bad. And we can have a lot of things, and I think in a lot of ways, when I think about our use of the HopeNet, I think that has brought, in my opinion, a greater intimacy amongst our church, you know, because you can be anywhere and you can know what's going on in the life of this body. But for a true biblical friendship to take place, there has to be face-to-face time. It doesn't mean if someone's away from you that you can't have a friendship, but there must be some of that. Who can read for me Proverbs 27:17? All right, Ms. Stephanie.
Iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another.
Okay, so, and what do we gain? You know, we talked about the beginning, when we went into the beginning of the book here, that friendship, one of its primary purposes is to, biblical friendship, is to strengthen one another in the things of God. And somebody alluded to earlier that iron sharpens iron. So, biblical friendships can be used to help us grow and to make us, I'm not going to use the word better, but it can be have a sanctifying effect on us. It can help us to grow in the things of God. So, as iron sharpens iron. And sometimes the problem we have as sinners, we don't always like to have our iron sharpened. But God can use that. So now let's look at a couple examples of friendships in the Bible. Probably the one that Mr. Jim alluded to earlier, going back to the early church, was that of Paul the Apostle. And who was Paul's friend? Timothy. The Bible says that there's probably, well, not the Bible, but scholars estimate there was probably about a 20-year differential between Paul. Yes, sir? Does it say it? Okay. Does it say 20 years?
No. It says there's a generation.
Okay, which could be 20 or 40 years.
Jonathan was fighting battles for his father before David was born.
Right. No, Timothy and Paul. But say what you said again about David and Jonathan.
There's a generational difference between those two men.
David being the elder?
No, Jonathan being the elder.
Huh.
Jonathan was fighting battles with the army before David was born.
Okay. Okay. So when we look at the founding of the church, we see one of the greatest examples of biblical friendship between Paul and Timothy, and that having a spread. And many times, biblical friendships will sometimes develop along the lines of an elder and a younger. I know that friendships that I've had with others, many times I used to have a friend in Memphis that was probably 40 years my senior, but he had a tremendous impact on me as a young man. So, and I think there was a mutual respect and love there. He's now with the Lord, and I'll see him again one day. But I'd like somebody to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Then I have a question I want to follow up. Okay, did I? Elizabeth?
Yes.
Read it loud, please.
And let them also be tested first, then help them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must...
Are you in the right spot?
No, this... 2 Timothy?
She's
the
first.
Did I say first?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Please forgive me. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11.
Antioch.
Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutes churns I endured. Yet from all the Lord rescued me.
Okay, so what Elizabeth was reading there in 2 Timothy was Paul speaking to Timothy or talking about Timothy. So what does the example of Paul and Timothy here tell us about friendship, or what are characteristics of friendships like Paul and Timothy had here from those verses? Does anybody... You share the good and the bad. And also in this case where you had an elder and a younger, that the younger many times, and it could go the other way, but generally we think the elder and the younger, is that the one really becomes an example to the other. And they grow. You know, Paul taught Timothy. He taught him in the things of God. And then Timothy grew up to do what? Begin to emulate the things that he was taught by Paul. It says here, there's a quote in here from biblical scholar F.F. Bruce. It says, Timothy readily surrendered whatever personal ambitions he might have cherished in order to play the part of a son to Paul and help him with his missionary activity. So Timothy here was emulating that which he was taught. Now I have one quick question. Let me look at my digital media here. What time are we supposed to end? 10:45? Okay, so with that said, we're at 10:38. I'm at page 5 of a 35-page booklet. So I can do one of two things. I can go into hyperactive mode and just like go to the conclusion and end there, or if the other members of the session will allow me, I'll pick it up next week. Yes, ma'am.
I say pick it up next week. This book was so good. I really like to hear it.
Okay. Session members, did I take that as a yes from your friend?
Yes.
Okay. Charlie, Charlie and James.
I don't get a vote.
You can. Well, Charlie, are you good with this?
Sorry.
Are you good with picking this up next week?
Yeah.
Okay, because like I said, I'm at page 5, and I have 3 pages of notes here, and I just finished page 1. So I'll have to pack it in more, a little faster. But anyway, I hope this sets the framework or the bottom for what or the reference point for what a biblical friendship would look like, and that it might help each one of us as we think about our friendships and our investments of time. Because in order to develop biblical friendship, one must invest of themselves. And so we need to count those costs. There may be relationships or things that, not that we have to end those, but they may not deem the time. Yes, Mr. Phil.
Who determines the people's preparation next week is the question and answer session?
So I'm 2 weeks out. Okay. So that. Oh. Well, so I'll be ready for next week.
Okay.
All right.
I think it's. Mr. Mangum sent us schedules for those who are teaching. And it's helpful for people to know about when they're going to teach. If you could figure out if you're going to need 1 more week or 2 more weeks, and if all of you who have your books could look at the material you've got and give Charlie an idea of how many weeks you think you'll take, then he can make a revised schedule for people to know when they're teaching.
Well, we also can look at it that it gives them more time to prepare. When I went through, I looked at the link to the other books, and I think a lot of them go to page 20, 22 pages, somewhere in there. Mine went to 35, and as I was working on this, I said, I don't think I can, I can make it through this without just going over it so fast. So anyway, you all now have the opportunity, if you haven't had a chance to read it completely, to read this and come prepared next week to conclude. Because I think the coming part is the most important part as we go forward. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this Lord's Day. We ask now, Lord, that as we enter into your presence through the worship of you, we ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and minds and that your name may be glorified in and through it all. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.